All right, well, India was the world's eighth most polluted country in 2022, dropping from fifth place the previous year. While the PM2.5 level has dipped, it's still over 10 times the World Health Organization's safe limit. Now, the ranking was decided by the Swiss firm IQ Air in its World Air Quality Report released today. It's based on the level of PM2.5. That's a pollutant closely tracked by scientists and health experts. Significantly, the report indicates that 39 of the 50 most polluted cities in the world are in India. In broad terms, what can this potentially mean for millions of residents of major Indian cities? This is important data to look at, and this is a theme we've been tracking now very closely over at least the last decade. But the numbers still are unfortunately appalling. Well, joining us now, Glory Dolphin-Hamis, the CEO of IQ Air North America. Thanks very much, Glory, for being with us. And for producing this very comprehensive report. We're joined by Gopal Shankar Narayanan, an advocate and activist in the Supreme Court of India, and Polash Mukherjee, the lead of air quality at the NRDC. Thank you all for being with us. Glory, let me come to you first. Now, the data from 131 countries is taken from over 30,000 ground-based monitors, either government or non-government operated. That's really interesting. It just indicates the size or scale of this operation. But the report indicates that 39 of the 50 most polluted cities in the world are in India. In broad terms, what can this potentially mean for millions of residents of major Indian cities?
What that means is that there are literally millions of preventable deaths. PM2.5 is the pollutant that kills the most amount of people on this planet. This is why our report really focuses on PM2.5. And unfortunately, these numbers result in literally millions of preventable deaths within India.
Mr. Shankar Narayanan, you know, I mean, Glory makes an important point that these are millions of preventable deaths. Now, the fact of the matter is you don't die of air pollution because on a post-mortem report, it rarely states that is the cause, which is perhaps the reason why nobody really knows accurately how many people die of air pollution. The other fact is that people end up dying many years later, perhaps. You don't die instantly of air pollution in most cases. Is that perhaps a reason why there seems to be no value attached to actual deaths caused by air pollution in our country or elsewhere?
I think that's definitely one of the problems, Vishnu. We do have enough evidence now, both medical and otherwise. Your channel, in fact, has hosted several of the leading doctors and physiologists from the Delhi NCR on multiple occasions, including the head of the All India Institute of Medical Sciences, all talking about how Delhi has become a completely polluted airshed, that how infants in Delhi have lungs which look like that of adult smokers, and how particularly in Delhi and the north, which is where the big air pollution story started or restarted after a gap of about a couple of decades in the early 2012-2013 time. That is definitely one of the problems. We do know that there are many bronchial issues, lung cancer, and many other aspects that arise from it. And you don't have that on postmortem reports. You rarely have that being attributed even by medical practitioners as the key cause. But what we, I think, have realized over at least the last 6 or 7 years, with the amount of media glare and publicity, with the kind of proceedings going on in the Supreme Court, the NGT, and the Delhi High Court, is that indoor air pollution is a significant cause of disease in India. And when we say indoor air pollution, we shouldn't be looking at middle class and other classes of society, but towards homes where they're using chulas and very indigenous styles of fuels, right, which has been a major cause. And a lot of it is attributed, at least from what we've seen from the basic source apportionment studies that we've had in the north, to not having fuels which are clean enough with vehicles,
right,
with power plants which continue to be dependent on coal. And also, I think, a very casual attitude towards waste management. My big issue is that we have been dealing with it territorially. So in Delhi, for example, we earlier had EPCA, and now we have the CAQM, which is a body that has been set up by an act of parliament to figure out how they're going to address air pollution in the NCR.
Yes.
So even though you have Bombay, which has overtaken Delhi over the winter as the most polluted city in India, and it's become a significant issue in nearly 30, 40 cities across the country, we still find an addressing legislative mechanism only for the NCR. We're forgetting about the fact that there's an issue across the country, and
that's
we can't
true,
wait
though.
Too long.
In fact, Laurie, while India's PM 2.5 count has dropped, we really shouldn't be celebrating that, because it's obviously a major concern, since this PM 2.5 count is still, what, 10 times above the World Health Organization limits for what is considered
safe? Yes. So the World Health Organization considers 5 micrograms per cubic meter safe, and India literally has over 10 times that amount on average, well over 50. And within Delhi, we're looking at the average being about 90 micrograms per cubic meter. And within New Delhi in particular, when we isolate New Delhi out of Delhi, that's well over 80 micrograms per cubic meter.
Gloria, how extensive is the survey of air pollution you've done in India? Just so that I understand it better, how have you collected this data?
We collect this data. This is what's called an empirical process. So we literally have ground level sensors. You've seen probably other reports that focus on modeled data or satellite data. So our sensors, we have hundreds of sensors that we collect data from within the country of India. And these are ground level sensors. So they're at the level that folks are actually walking around and breathing air pollution.
Polash Mukherjee, let me come to you next. You know, what we were talking about earlier with Gopal, you know, on actual deaths, and we were referring to this with Gloria as well. In fact, there are several studies now which have been done on killer air. In fact, IQ Air in 2021 did a report with Greenpeace, 54,000 premature deaths in Delhi 2020 because of air pollution. That's their analysis. Lancet says 1.6 million premature deaths due to air pollution in 2019, with India topping in deaths because of air pollution globally, China second. So there is a corroboration now being statistically available, and there are about 5 or 6 studies between air pollution, and that really should be changing the way we look at this, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Vishnu. I mean, the data is out there. And more and more, we are seeing that the data is now localized. It's generated by local research groups that are generated. Lancet, for example, uses an extensive network of ICMR-based researchers to come up with this data. I think the question really is that reports like the one by my co-panelist, Glory, highlight that this is a problem that is extensive across India. It is not a problem. I mean, my co-panelist Gopal also said that it's not something that's localized for Delhi, NCR, neither is it just the Indo-Gangetic Plain, but it's India's own National Clean Air Program identifies 133 cities that don't meet India's own air quality standards. And let's put aside the fact that India's own standards are much more relaxed compared to the WHO standards. So it really is a matter of governance, and is a matter of whether the emergency status that such a epidemic can be attributed to is being accorded to it. I think cities and states need to work on it on a war footing. And while there have been progress that has been made in the last couple of years, is it enough? I don't think so.
Glory, what is the primary cause of air pollution in India according to the data that you've collected? And, you know, what is the economic cost of air pollution? Do you have numbers for India?
Sure. Yeah, so there are 3 main primary reasons for air pollution within India. First and foremost is the dependence on coal-burning plants to produce energy. Also, transportation is accounting for 20 to 30% of air pollution, as well as crop burning. So these are really these are really areas that affect the overall infrastructure. And so what really needs to be done is a change in the infrastructure in terms of looking more towards clean emission ways in order to produce energy, as well as looking at the transportation side, how to really optimize that with low to no emissions, as well as crop burning. There are so many other things that can be done, especially in terms of composting. And really on the regulation side, there's a lot that needs to be done. But the cost of air pollution is tremendous. Greenpeace did a very profound study on the cost of air pollution, and not only does it take millions of lives unnecessarily every year, but it's also negatively affecting our overall global economy. There are folks that cannot go to work. There are kids that cannot go to school. The overall health impact is tremendous. And in terms of the economic impact of the health impact, it makes a lot of sense to invest in infrastructure that reduces air pollution and eliminates air pollution, because it just makes financial sense.
You know, Gopal, let me just address the elephant in the room. You know, in our system of governance, in a country which is democratic, unlike, let's say, a China, where you can actually fix a crisis like we've seen in Beijing through very, very strict measures, we don't actually have a system, legal or otherwise, that can enforce something like that. And therefore, are people like you and me sort of destined to live the rest of our lives through this air pollution?
Well, Vishnu, I would like to say that we did, in fact, have some very strong measures when Delhi specifically had terrible air pollution in the late 90s. I think both of us are great enough to recall that phase when we had grim fog throughout
and
the
winter
season. Yes, but the Supreme Court did three important things. And when everybody says, why are we going to court? Shouldn't we have legislative and executive processes which address it? The fact is, legislative and executive processes failed for 35 years, ever since New Delhi was notified under the Air Act as a sensitive area. And a petition was filed in 1985 about air pollution in Delhi. Since then, there has been no legislative and executive step that has been taken which has had any effect. What the Supreme Court did in a two-year period was to convert all diesel vehicles into CNG, despite severe protests, to push more than 200 polluting industries outside the NCR, about 100 kilometers away, and to do the same with brick kilns. Now, those are tough actions and almost hinging on the borders of democracy, because that's something China can do easily. But the Supreme Court did it. And we had a good 10-year period from 2000 to 2010 when the air was much cleaner. If we had such kind of stiff, strong efforts, it would make a big difference. Unfortunately, the Delhi NCR has embraced what I think is a ludicrous degraded response action plan, the GRAP, conceived by the erstwhile body, which was pretty much attempting to address pollution and which is continued now by the new entity. And we are in the state of emergency for the last 7 years. There's no question of a graded response. You don't nudge a person into the ICU hour by hour if he has to be in the ICU a week ago. But that's the way we've been addressing it. But there's a second issue I wanted to just bring to your notice, Vishnu. As Glory was saying, their report is primarily dealing with PM2.5, which is one of the essential components of air quality. But I think we need to understand that there are several other components apart from PM2.5. PM2.5 is the most serious because it's the tiniest. It embeds itself in your lungs and will never leave your body. And that's what we're seeing in the lungs of infants in Delhi. They're virtually gray when they should be pink. But there's also nitrogen dioxide, sulfur dioxide, carbon monoxide, ozone, ammonia, and lead. All eight components go together to form AQI, which is why, while in some areas crop burning may be an issue, like in the north, a larger part of the pollution is because of that, that's not the case in Bombay. You land in Bombay and you can see the amount of construction happening there. So construction dust is a big issue. We need something done comprehensively and urgently by identifying the local sources of those pollution and putting them down, but not in a graded fashion, in an urgent overnight fashion.
Polash, if we look at the contribution of the auto sector to air pollution in India, India is not quite there as yet, despite our ambition at transiting or at moving over to a large number, a large percentage of electric vehicles. That'll take at least another 10 years. Presently, on the roads of the National Capital Region, we're adding about 1,000 new cars a day. Those numbers are ludicrous. A, we don't have the infrastructure. That's a separate issue. But the volume of air pollution, even when it comes to cars which are Bharat Stage 6, is very, very high. So which government would then turn around in India and say, let's stop the sale of cars, let's become a Singapore overnight, and we will fix our public transportation system to make it accessible properly for everyone. Now, we've been talking about this for a decade. It's not been done because in India, it just seems it cannot be done. Your thoughts?
I think you kind of addressed it in the sense that air pollution is an outcome. To resolve air pollution, you need to work on all the different processes that kind of contribute to air pollution. It's not just clean transport or clean energy or clean industry, but it is a composite of all these processes. And that's where strong governance comes in very strongly. And here we are talking about health. And I just wanted to point this out, that health is a very key evaluative lens that ought to be used in the decision-making process for air quality management very strongly. And this is something that's not happening right now. If you look at the NCAP, the National Clean Air Program, that is the flagship program for India's air pollution management, it does not mention the words health at all. There is no correlation from health, from the health management perspective. It's very focused on reduction of PM2.5 levels in particular. So you therefore need to bring in at the governance stage an evaluative framework which weighs in the health benefits of each intervention. What's happening right now is that across India, 133 cities are debating what actions must they take in order to effectively counter air quality. And unless there is a strong monitoring and evaluation framework, data-driven policymaking, that is the problem. The second, of course, is that our urban local bodies are overworked. Gopal kind of mentioned this, that there has been a failure of the executive and the legislature to work on this comprehensively. And that's partly attributable to the overburdening of the executive decision makers. There are no specialized personnel right. that would look at environmental health as a framework like this. There are other disasters that have a very close linkage to air quality, like, for instance, extreme heat at the moment. So there needs to be an overhaul in the governance structure, especially in urban local bodies. India is going to urbanize very quickly in the next 20 years. And unless we make changes there, we know which route we're headed down.
Glory, I live in Delhi and my panelists also do. It's been, the most polluted capital in the world in the past. Not so this time, though the overall numbers are still very poor, as we've been saying. That said, do you believe that there's been some sort of relative improvement in the National Capital Region in these numbers? Our neighboring towns, Gurugram, Noida, Ghaziabad, Faridabad, apparently there's been a decline in their pollution levels?
There actually technically hasn't been.
Oh, really? I see.
When we isolated New Delhi and we looked at the neighboring towns, New Delhi was actually slightly cleaner than the rest of Delhi. So also the neighboring towns, there really wasn't a tremendous amount in terms of improvement. There is, basically these towns are so far away from the WHO standards that there really does need to be a serious intervention. And we're relying on individuals is not going to make that impact that really needs to be made. This actually needs to be an infrastructure change, a change in regulations that will make the difference. And I can say that it can be done because we've seen it being done in other countries. And I know that that India is not a country that regulates in the same manner that China did or China does. But it is possible to collectively move toward cleaner energy and towards cleaner policies that make an overall big impact, because we've just seen a double-digit improvement on China's side, and it is possible when people get behind it, when there are some regulations or change, it is possible to turn that wave and to make an impact in a positive way.
Well, let's hope that that does happen. And I've been saying something for the last couple of years, and I regret that I need to say this again. If we were to take a recording of this program and play it out 2 years later, nobody would know the difference. We just look maybe a bit younger now then, but no one would know the difference in terms of the content, none of us, because the more things change, it's the air pollution that remains the same, and millions continue to suffer. Does anybody really care? But thank you very much for sharing that reality check. I'd like to thank you all very much for joining us.